Amen. Well, it is good to be up here. I was telling David this morning that this is the first time I've preached since being back in Texas, but it's also had been the longest I had gone without preaching since I started preaching, which is an interesting thing. That's not something most music pastors can say. I was very blessed to be able to preach regularly back in Hawaii, and I'm very blessed to be able to be up here proclaiming God's word today. So this week, I was thinking back to different times on family vacations. My family's been talking about different things over the summer as summer draws ever nearer. And I was thinking about a couple different times that we were on a lake. That was one of my family's main vacation things, was going to a lake. And I distinctly remember one time that we were looking out over the water. And I think I was like 8 at the time. So this was like a miraculous thing to see. But we could see the storm coming in. And we could see the line of the rain moving. And it was such a cool thing. But then a few years later, I also remember being out on the lake in a kayak. And all of a sudden, a storm starts a brewing and lightning starts going, and my dad's like, we got to get out of here as quick as we can. And I think that's something that we should understand, that difficult times come, and they come in those different ways. Sometimes we see them coming and it's like a slowly moving problem coming toward us, and we kind of just maybe want to ignore that it's coming, or we have time to prepare. But then there are those times that it comes out of nowhere. But the thing that we need to understand, and the thing that hopefully we will see this morning, is that regardless of what is happening, what kind of storms are going around us, is that our Savior is with us in our storms. And this is the miracle of Christ calming the storm, is one that I go back to regularly, that I continually remind myself of during difficult times. And this morning we'll be looking at the accounting of it in Mark 4, verses 35 through 41. But before we open the scriptures, let us go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord, we thank you for today. We thank you that we are able to come together, that we are able to join together as a body of believers to worship you through song, to worship you through prayer, through responsive reading, through scripture reading, and now through the proclamation of your word, Lord. And I just pray that this morning you help us to see your word, that you help me to show your truth above all else. And I just pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts are pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So reading from, again, Mark 4, verses 35 through 41, it says, "On that day when the evening had come, he said to them, 'Let us go across to the other side.' And leaving the crowd, they took him with them in a boat, just as he was, and other boats were with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat, so that the boat was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion, and they woke him and said, 'Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?' And he awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, 'Peace, be still.' And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said to them, 'Why are you afraid? Have you still no faith?' And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, 'Who then is this that even the wind and sea obey him?' Thanks be to God." So in this story, we see the disciples with Christ crossing the sea. One of the interesting things with this story is that it's one that we see in all the synoptic gospels, which we see a lot of stories between them, but it's also one that is almost, or a lot of the details are different between them. Obviously not contradicting each other, just different perspectives, different things are in each one of them. But I always come back to this version of it, because I think we see some of the most detail in Mark with this. But we see them crossing the sea, and we see that there are multiple other people coming along with those. And one thing that we need to realize when we're reading through the Gospels, that when it talks about the disciples, it's not always just talking about the 12. It's not just talking about the inner, but it's also talking about the others that follow, those that also get sent out at different times that we read. And so we can think that maybe that's part of who is going along with them in these boats. It might just be passer-ons that are following along, but I tend to think that it is other of those disciples that are following. But they started this just as a standard trip. He had been teaching, okay, we need to go over here, so let's go, let's get going, it's time to move on. Something and the idea of we need to get going before the sun sets. We need to go while it's daylight out. But so it just started as a standard trip. There is nothing that we see in any of the tellings that there would have been any real concern in their leaving. But the issue is with this sea is that storms come on extremely fast. It can go from peaceful to perilous in very short order. So they're thinking, okay, we're just going over to the other side, and all of a sudden they think their lives are in danger, which they have good reason to think that. Many of the people there were fishermen and were familiar with these seas. They would have known that a storm like this could be the end of their life, that this was not something to joke around about. Especially because after only a short amount of time, the boats were being filled with water. There was nothing that they could do but call out to God, but they had him on board. So they woke up Christ, who is God incarnate, and he was being human, fully man along with fully God. He was tired and was sleeping. But in this, their concern was for themselves, not for his work. And often, I think, we give ourselves over to the chaos going on in our lives. This can be a time that we see, or at least we think we see, unprecedented chaos. There's a saying that the worst thing that's ever happened to you is the worst thing that's ever happened to you. In that it might be something small to this person over there, but if you've never seen anything like it, it's unprecedented. You don't understand what's happening. It can be a great time of panic. But so we can call out to God, and we should call out to God, not just for our safety, but to look for him in these circumstances. And our world is full of chaos. We have moments of peace, but there is never full peace. We continually call out to God, especially in these storms. There is always something that we should and can call out to God for, whether it is real or imagined to us. Christ, and here is the important part that we need to realize, that Christ will not always calm that storm, but he is always with us in that storm. I think about this past week of those that are going through storms. And I know there are others that have relayed different things, but if you're on the email, I emailed about a friend of mine and Naomi's who passed away. And while his wife seems to be taking it well because he's been sick for a long time, I can still say that that's going to be a storm that she may have seen coming, but is probably pretty unprecedented. I see another pastor friend of ours who is retired and much older, and again, he's been sick for a long time, but he passed away, and I know his wife has been praying for his healing vigorously over the past 2 years. And while they are older and pastored for a long time and have seen this come up, it's still going to be an unprecedented storm to her. I think back to, this had to have been, I think, 5 years ago. Naomi's sister's father-in-law was diagnosed with cancer. And I think his response and his wife's response is the response that we ought to have in these things, is God will take care of it. I remember hearing different things about that, and the response is essentially, it doesn't mean God's going to heal me, but God's going to take care of it. He's going to be with me through it. He's going to take care of my wife. He's going to take care of my family. And I am here for whatever he has called me to, whatever is going on. And there was a point that he seemed to be in remission, and there was a lot of celebration until they found that it actually had spread. And it got to the point where it's like, yeah, there's nothing else we can do. But his response didn't change. God will take care of it. It'll be okay. And we saw him, I think, 2 or 3 weeks before he passed, before he went to be with the Lord, and that was still his response, is God will take care of it. It'll be okay. Through that storm, through that chaos, through the being told that maybe there's something we can do, looks like you're doing better, to there's nothing we can do. The response was still the same, and that is what we need to realize. And whatever thing we're going through, whatever problem, whether it's something big or small, whether it's something that keeps coming back or something that we've never experienced before, is that the Savior is with us through our storms. But we see this command to have peace, be still. They had seen the miracles from Christ before. This is not the first time that he had done something miraculous. It's not that he called them to follow and they got on a boat and went out and all of a sudden he's telling the sea to calm and that's the first thing they had seen. They had seen plenty of other miracles before. In the book of Mark, this is the first time they saw a miracle that wasn't on another person. This is the first time that it was on something else, but we know that it's not the first, that is the first time that it happened in the ministry of Christ. It's just the first time recorded in Mark. But even nature followed his word. Even nature did what he had commanded. With only a few words, the winds calmed and the seas stilled. He had not only commanded healing or bring blessing, but he had power over nature. It's not just that he could tell the demons to leave, but he could tell creation to calm. We see this type of thing elsewhere in Scripture. In Psalm 46, we see God calling out to the nature that is going, falling apart, the mountains being moved into the heart of the sea. We see the wars throughout the nations raging, and he calls out to be still and know that I am God. And we have that verse in our bulletins when we come into the sanctuary, to be still and know that he is God. When we come here together, when we have the privilege to come before him and worship, that is what we ought to do, is be still and know that he is God. Because he will calm all of those difficulties. Now, again, the thing we need to realize, though, is in our life, those storms aren't always going to be calmed. There might be a purpose, there might be a reason to those things that we are going through, but we need to trust that our God is sovereign. We need to trust that our God knows better than us. We need to know that he is with us in those times. Even in the craziest times, we need to cling to Christ. His power is above all else. God is greater than anything we can imagine. In those storms, when we don't know which way is up, we need to be still and know that he is God. In those times, our response should be, you know, look for a solution. Obviously, the IRS is auditing you and you want to be still and know that he's God, you should still deal with that. But at the same time, we shouldn't look to just solve the problem on our own. We need to pray. We need to meditate on his word. We need to seek his face. Whatever the problem is, we need to seek him. But in that seeking, be still and know that he is God. Know that this storm didn't take him by surprise like it may have taken us. and know that He has it in control, and know that the Savior is with us no matter what our storm may be. I think the end of the parable, or not the parable, of this story is one of the things that stands out most to me, though. Every time when we might read it, we think about the nature miracle. We think about the fact that when He did different things, they thought, well, where are you getting this power from? Where, how are you doing this? Well, it's showing that He is powerful over creation as well. But the thing that stands out to me the most in this is that He turns around and rebukes the disciples for waking Him up. Why don't you trust me? Where's your faith? Now, I think that might catch us off guard. I know it catches me off guard because, well, they did have faith. That's why they went to you. They looked for you to solve their problem. But I think our faith in God needs to be a little bit different than that. We need to not just look for God to solve our problem, but for God's plan in that problem. We need to trust that even though the storm is raging around us, we can't think that God is asleep while we are suffering. It might feel like we've been left out to dry and that God is taking a nap, so to speak. But we need to realize that God is there through all of it, that He is aware of what's going on. Nothing has ever caught Him off guard. Nothing has ever not gone to His plan. We need to be still in that storm and trust in His provision. Now, again, that doesn't mean that we don't pray for Him to act, but we pray for Him to act according to His will. That doesn't mean that we don't look for our solutions if there's something going on. That, yes, we should look for a solution, but even more so, we need to pray that God shows us that solution, that God acts. But we need to remember that God is going to act on His time. I quote a sermon that David preached from back the first time we were here, that sometimes God waits till 11:59. And that is true in this. Just because we want that storm to be over today doesn't mean that that's what's going to happen. Sometimes He may wait until that boat is about to capsize before He acts and calms that storm. But in this, Christ rebuked them because they should have had faith in Him as God. They should have had faith in the power of God that they were going to be okay. We need to not demand to see God move, but we need to trust in His moving. We can act and we can pray that He moves, but then we need to be still and be comforted by His presence in the storm. Even if He's not moving like we want Him to, we then need to just stop and pray and be thankful that He is with us no matter what is going on. Even the disciples were afraid at this power. This was a different kind of thing than they had ever seen before. We shouldn't beat ourselves up when we struggle, but instead we should encourage each other. We need to realize that we are called to be a body for a reason. We are called not just to come together, worship, and go our own ways, but that we're called to stir one another up to good works. But part of that is to also remind each other that God is there. Part of that is to be able to pray with one another. And now with technology, that's that much easier because we can send an email out. We can hear something has happened, and within 10 minutes, we can send an email. Really, within moments, we can send an email. But we ought to be praying for one another, but in that praying, we are all seeking comfort, or ought to seek comfort in God. When I pray for somebody that has lost somebody or somebody that's going through something, one of the things I always make sure to pray for is that they are comforted in this time and that God may act through whatever is going on. And that is what we ought to do when the storm is going on, is, yes, pray that this gets calmed, but even more so that God is seen through this. If there's some kind of travel delay while we're going to visit family or something, that maybe this is a time that God can be seen by somebody we wouldn't expect. For anyone that hasn't heard, Naomi's in my travel back to Texas. That kind of thing happened to us in that we were delayed in California a week longer than we were supposed to. And we were very frustrated by that. And even more so, our bank account was frustrated by that. But our plans didn't work out to go to the church we had planned to along our trip. Instead, we ended up going to a church in San Diego, and we were blessed by that church, by the different people that we had talked to, by the pastors, by seeing what they did. Now, that was a storm. Luckily, it wasn't an enormous storm, but it was a bit of a storm that we were going through. But as one of us panicked, the other one, just calm down, it's going to be okay. And it was. We got back, and it was all good. But just thinking back to that, I realized that God acted through that storm by us being able to go to that church, us connecting with that church. We are connected with some of those people on social media from going to their church one time. We've looked at trying to go back and do something with them over the summer, connecting them with things like G3 and all this kind of stuff. But that wouldn't have happened if our plans went perfectly, if there was no storm, if the sea was calm that day, but God knew better. And we need to grow in our trust. We need to grow in our dependency on God. We train all of these other things. We teach lessons. We practice sports. We counsel people into things, but we often don't work on that discipline of patience and trust in God, that He is going to move even when we don't think He's going to, even when we don't see that. We need to realize that there's a reason that Christ rebuked the disciples for waking him up, not because he didn't want to wake up from his nap, although being woken up from a nap into the middle of a storm probably wasn't the most pleasant thing, even for Christ being fully God, but also being fully man. But that wasn't it. It was, don't you have faith? Don't you trust that it's going to be okay? We need to remember that our Savior is with us through our storms. Beyond that, it is amazing what they say to each other after. Who is this? The disciples who had walked with Jesus and had seen plenty of miracles were not sure of who he was when they saw his power. Now again, they obviously knew he was Jesus, but who is this that can calm the seas? Now, even if they understood that he was the Messiah, it's very clear that people didn't understand who the Messiah was supposed to be. They were expecting a military king, and many didn't think Jesus was the Messiah because he didn't show that kind of power. But then he showed a different kind of power, a much greater power, a divine power, and they still didn't understand that that's what the Messiah was going to be, who the Messiah was and still is. Again, going back to Psalm 46 and elsewhere, we see descriptions of natural disasters such as mountains being moved into the heart of the sea. What we need to see in this isn't just poetic description, but this is basically them saying the world is falling apart. That one of the symbols of stability is the mountains being where they are because nothing can move the mountain. But for the mountain to be moved into the heart of the sea, they're basically saying that this world is falling apart and there's nothing that can be done. So for Christ to display his power over nature is showing a true power that they could have, that they did not imagine in the Messiah. We see an idea of this when Jesus is casting out demons, that he's accused of doing so by the power of Beelzebub. In Matthew 12:24, when the Pharisees heard it, they said, "It is only by Beelzebub, the prince of demons, that this man casts out demons." But he corrects them, it's by the Spirit of God. So they think because he's casting out demons that he's showing his power by Beelzebub. But that's not the case. It's that God is sovereign over all things. As Luther said, even the devil is God's devil. In calming the storm, he is instead showing his power over creation because he is, in fact, the creator. He is not an archangel that was sent down by God. He is not a descendant of God. He is God. He is a part of the Godhead. He is co-creator of the world. He is showing his power over creation by calming the storm. His power goes beyond all others because he can not only heal the body, he can not only stop nature from raging, but even more so, he can forgive sins. He not only calms the storm, but he can calm our souls. We read in Mark 2, 6 through 12, after healing somebody, they're asking, the Pharisees and everybody is asking about what he's doing. But in verse 9, it says, which is easier, to say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven, or to say, rise and take up your bed and walk? In this, he's showing his power not only over people's body, not only over healing, but that he is the God that can forgive. He is, as God, the only one that can truly forgive sins. As our storms are raging, the thing that we must hold on to is that God is with us in that storm, but more importantly, God is the one who will save us from our sin through the storm that we don't even see around us. When we are unbelievers, there's a storm around us that we could never imagine that is far greater than anything else that will or could happen. It is a storm of certain demise. It's not something that we might make it through if we try hard enough. The storm of lostness is something that there is no hope from aside from Christ. There is no way to get ourselves through that storm. So as we go through these different storms, we need to hold close to Christ. We need to hold close to him and remember that, of course, he can help us through these storms because he is the one that can save us from the ultimate storm, the storm of sin and death. We need to realize today in this that God can calm the storm, but more importantly, he is the one that forgives these sins. I remember, I think it was about 10 years ago, it was shortly before Naomi and I were married. I asked my grandmother, who, for me, all growing up, I saw her as a very faithful believer, always going to church, her and my grandfather, always serving, always sacrificing for the benefit of others, if she had ever struggled in her faith after becoming a believer. And I knew becoming a believer was a bit of a struggle for her, and there's a lot to that as well, but after becoming a believer, going through what she did to become a believer, was there ever a time that she questioned her faith? And she said, yeah, of course, we all struggle. But the most significant one was, it was 10 years or so prior to that. My uncle died suddenly. He had moved, I grew up in Connecticut, he moved to California and was living his life out there, and all of a sudden one day he was gone. For years, we got to see him maybe once or twice a year, and all of a sudden her youngest son was gone. And she said that every day around Mother's Day, it was a struggle because that's when his birthday was around Mother's Day. His birthday would have been May 8th. And that the time after that was truly a storm like she had never imagined. It was a struggle when her fiancé at the time died and she ended up becoming a believer, but it was nothing even comparable. But she and my grandfather continually clinged to Christ. They continually went to church. They continued to serve. And God was there with them. And that's not a storm that was able to be ceased. is still something that comes up from time to time. It's still something I know that she struggles with around days like today. But in those times, in those struggles, in those storms, she is an example and is actually asked to speak on this with different groups because she didn't lose sight. The storm raged and there were difficult times, but she continued to cling to Christ. She continued to have faith in him even though the storms raged, even though the mountains seemed like they were falling and moving into the heart of the sea. She held to him, and while I can't say good came out of it, she's been able to help a lot of other people because of what she and my grandfather went through. But in times of peril, it can be easy for us to revert to our fallen instincts, to our, well, I'll pray tomorrow, I need to deal with this today. It's easy for us to forget that we follow the God of all creation, the Savior of the nations. And in this time of uncertainty, even in our lives that may be tossed and turned, let us hold on to the man who could calm the seas with a simple word and know that he has everything in his control. Sometimes he won't calm the storm, but we need to know that he is with us in that storm, that the Savior is with us through our storms. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord, we thank you for today. We thank you that you have called us here. We thank you that you have called us to you, that as believers, we can hold to you in the darkest of times, in the strongest of storms, and that you will see us through. We thank you that you save us from the storm of sin and death, that you take us out of that, not by our merit, but by your grace, Lord. And I just pray as we continue today in worship, as we go through our week, that no matter what is going on, no matter how treacherous it may seem, we can remember that you are there with us and that you are our Savior in our storms. In your name we pray. Amen.